Haiti is a country on the verge of collapse. Cholera is spreading. Food and fuel prices are out of control. And the gangs of Port-au-Prince have a stranglehold on much of the capital, including the main oil terminal. Added to this, there's a political crisis. Prime Minister Ariel Henry is struggling to maintain his grip on power, with protesters regularly taking to the streets to demand his removal. His decision to ask the outside world to send a specialized armed force has only served to inflame people's anger. Ader Peralta is in Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, and joins us now. Good morning, Ader.
Good morning, Leila.
So there's a lot of talk of Haiti on the brink. Is this borne out by what you've seen and heard in the past few days?
Yeah, things are dire. The government seems absent, I mean, from the little things like trash not getting picked up, so it's piling up on the streets, to serious things. As you mentioned, some parts of Port-au-Prince are under siege. Gangs have erected blockades, and for more than 5 weeks now, they have not allowed fuel trucks to get gasoline from the fuel depots. And just across the airport, there are thousands of people who have built a makeshift camp at Hugo Chavez Square, and these are people who have been pushed out of their neighborhood by violence. And it was there that I met Fabiola Julme washing clothes in a bucket. She says as a new gang took over her neighborhood, they burnt down her house. They didn't care that she had nothing to do with the rival gang, that she was just a mother trying to live.
They don't need to identify who you are. As long as you live in that area, in that neighborhood, they will just come. They will kill you, they will burn your house, they will burn your body.
Do you have any hope that the government can fix this?
I don't see hope. Because there is no police now in Sesame. All police officers left.
Even here at this camp, the government is completely absent. Even though there is a cholera outbreak, there's no clean drinking water. People are sleeping on wet ground in makeshift tents. One man walks across the camp screaming in disbelief. How can we live like this? In another corner, Shalan Joseph cradles her baby. He's 2, but he's tiny. Malnutrition has lightened his hair, and he's so skinny, you can see his bones through his skin. Joseph says she's been trying to breastfeed him, but all he does is cry.
She cannot really feed a baby.
So he's not eating? Like,
look. When you feed him, he vomits the food.
She hasn't taken him to the doctor.
No money. I don't have money.
It's a collapse. Before the woman, it's a collapse.
That is Senator Patrice Dumont. He says Haiti is at a breaking point.
No bagage justice.
We have no justice.
Senator will get 4 months. C'est 10 months de priorité.
We were supposed to have 30 members for the Senate. We only have 10.
Economy.
Our economy is completely destroyed.
Dumont says for decades, corrupt politicians have armed gangs for personal gains. The assassination of President Jovenel Moïse last year created a power vacuum, and now the gangs are out of control. They've attacked police stations. For 5 weeks now, they've blocked the country's main fuel depots, and they are terrorizing the population. The corruption, he says, has now infected every corner of the country, and it's the Haitian people who are paying the price. We don't know yet where this outbreak of cholera came from, but recently cases have been rising fast, so the charity Doctors Without Borders has begun reopening treatment centers across Port-au-Prince.
In the first week, we were on average of 30 admissions a week. Now, in the third week, we are at about 150 admissions a day.
Jean-Baptiste Marion, the MSF project coordinator, walks through a treatment center. They have a generator because there is no reliable electricity, and some of their medical supplies have gotten stuck in the blockade.
The issue is, how long is this going to last, and how long are we be able to sustain that situation?
He says they also suspect people suffering from cholera are stuck in their homes because of the insecurity. Gilène Bazile says she was sick for a week before she could finally make it here.
Come.
So I could not make it before because have no money for transportation.
The blockade means that the price of everything has ballooned. She survived cholera, she says, but she spends her days thinking about how she will feed her kids. She spends nights thinking about the gunfire she hears outside.
Dead.
We don't live anymore. Everything is difficult, and Haiti died. You understand that?
The streets of Port-au-Prince are mostly empty these days, but the pews at St. Pierre Catholic Church are full on Sunday. Jean Baptiste, who's 29, says he used to come to church to pray for his family, to pray for his health, or sometimes his material needs.
And nowadays, one thing I'm asking God is to give us peace.
Does it feel like things can change?
Bon, comme moi jeune, moi t'as rien changé. As a young man, I believe that things can change, because if things remain the same, that will be the end of my life.
I ask him if he means that literally, and he says, absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to hear the desperation in people's voices trying to survive. Violence, the mother who can't afford to help her malnourished baby, and then there's no one to turn to. The government absent, as they told you. So what's the solution? Is it international intervention?
I mean, that's complicated, because pretty much everyone I've spoken to here think that an intervention is a bad idea. Haiti has a long history of international interventions, including a U.S. occupation, and none of it has led to any long-term solution. So people here have been protesting against a new intervention, and demonstrators plan to march to the U.N. compound today. But, you know, that desperation, because of that desperation, nearly everyone agrees that it's also hard to think of any other way to bring Haiti back from the brink.
NPR's Ader Peralta reporting from Port-au-Prince. Thank you so much, Ader.
Thank you, Leila.